Teachers Talking Tech is a podcast by teachers for teachers. The podcast is fully funded by us, Mike and Eric, and we are not sponsored by anyone. So you know that when we share something, we believe that it is good for students and good for teachers. If you like what you hear, take a moment and donate through PayPal to brown145@yahoo.com. We appreciate your support.
Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
And today we're going to be talking about an interview that I had with Sina Kistler. And I went to a seminar or class by her. It was all about HI versus AI, or human intelligence and artificial intelligence, and kind of how in the next foreseeable future, how these two things have to merge, right? Which seems like a faraway concept, but I thought it went really well along with some themes we've been talking about. For example, innovation. Like, why should we innovate? Why shouldn't we just keep teaching the way we're teaching?
Right.
And I thought that this is really an interesting take on it and where artificial intelligence, where it is and where it's going. So anyway, Sina is a blogger. She is an education liaison, is what she calls herself. And she travels around the globe talking about many topics. I just happened to hear her talk about this one, and it really, really caught my interest. So to start off with, I just kind of asked her about where AI is right now, and I just kind of asked her some general questions about AI. All right, I am here with Sina Kistler, and she has been both a learner and an educator for her entire life. She's entered the third phase of her educational life, partnering with leaders and educators who envision teaching and learning as intentional practices that unlock human potential in an age of artificial intelligence. To that end, she is connecting as an education liaison with ignition points across the globe. Welcome, Sina.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have the conversation.
I am too. And I should tell everybody, so I went to a conference, and I saw Sina speak about AI, and it just blew my mind. And so I really wanted to get this out, because this is not a topic I think a lot of educators think about in their daily lives, but I think it's important for them to know about. And I think after this, after hearing you, I think they're really going to be a little more interested in this. So first of all, how would you describe artificial intelligence to someone who's not a techie?
So I would say that the definition that I use is that artificial intelligence is the capability of a machine to imitate intelligent human behavior by learning and then adapting and improving based on that learning. So while there is software that has been developed that can do very sophisticated things, it's not artificial intelligence unless it can learn and imitate intelligent human behavior and improve its own learning.
You know, real world examples that everybody's familiar with would be Alexa from Amazon, Siri. Those would be real common AI programs, correct?
That's correct. And so there's a continuum of AI from less smart AI, and that's human dependent AI that has to learn with humans teaching it. And then there's to more smart AI, and that's self-directed. So Siri is a self-directed AI that learns in interaction with your use of your phone. And it's not the super smart AI, which is the type of AI that is able to learn how to play the game Go or chess to the point that it can beat master players. And so the continuum of the intelligence of AI is very interesting. And interestingly enough, mirrors the continuum of human intelligence as well.
So if we look at AI in the classroom at a really basic level right now, if you have a newer iPad, you have Siri, mm-hmm. right? Like we have Siri in our classroom. And, you know, I sometimes use this, my kids will, like, use it to dictate.
Right.
Right. Or like.
Or spell a word. Hey, Siri, how do you spell? Whatever.
Yeah. So it's almost like the whole idea where you want your kids to, like, look for some help before they come to you. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's just kind of a helper. You know, we've talked about in other podcasts, there are some schools I've gone into where they have AI programs that are teaching their kids. I mean, they are right. leveling the kids, they're responding to them, whole nother level. And this is what I think teachers need to realize going into this is that, okay, so AI, here it is right now, mm-hmm. Siri, Alexa, and then there's some higher level AI that has not made its way into the educational realm yet. But it will. And that when we get to this more complex AI, that it can do many of the basic functions that teachers do.
Right. I mean, it's already telling our kids how to spell words.
Right.
Yeah. So what's it going to teach them next?
Right, right. And it's not necessarily, and we'll get into this later in the interview, but, you know, it's not necessarily that that's a horrible thing, but like we talked about before, like, teachers have to blaze their own trails with technology. Mm-hmm. If we just let these be given to us, I mean, if you tell some lawmakers, like, hey, this online, you know, AI program right. can get your kids up to this score on the test, and right. then, you know, then they're like, well, why do we need to pay teachers benefits? And
all these exactly.
things. So, like, it is one of these things. And not only that, but it's not a good educational model, even more importantly than our jobs.
Right.
That this whole, like, just teach the test, like, yeah, that's easy for AI to do. Just like it's easy for some AIs when I call into some kind of company for mm-hmm. them to say, I will reroute you to this person. But then there are other things where it just is not there, right? Right. And so that's what we're going to get into next is, so, you know, how would you use AI in the classroom? Like, what are some beneficial ways? Why should teachers even, you know, care, pay attention to AI? Why would a teacher such as myself want to know more about this?
Well, I think as teachers know that, in the experience of education and the way that things are implemented in education, AI will either be done to us, like standardized testing has been, or we will be able to have our own agency with AI. And at minimum, we will be able to make decisions as educators as to how AI will be incorporated into our teaching and learning. And at maximum, we will partner with AI and be able to optimize the teaching and learning experiences with AI, partnering with AI. And for our students, we need to care about AI because our students' future will be significantly impacted by AI. Think about the students that are in school right now. They'll be entering the workforce in the 2040s. And you can bet that AI will be very already AI is embedded within our world and is doing the work that humans used to be doing. And remember that the first smartphone was released in 2007. Based on the most current information, at the end of 2016, 80% of the U.S. population had smartphones. So we went in 10 years from 0 to 80%. So we know that AI will have a significant implementation curve and education, while it lags behind some of the other industries, will definitely be impacted.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this just the other day. I called Apple for customer service, and it is hard to tell sometimes when you call companies whether or not you're talking to a robot or to a real person. And that is definitely an industry that has been taken over by AI. Sometimes for, you know, it works well and sometimes it does not. I think most people would be familiar or have an experience with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I use the weather test. So if I'm talking to someone and I'm not sure if it's a service bot or a person, I'll ask, so how's that weather there? And I'm sure that the artificial intelligence is going to learn that there are some simple casual conversation and so it can make to still, because the whole point of AI is that it tries to be human. So AI, the more artificial intelligence becomes super smart is when it can almost trick a human into not knowing it's talking to artificial intelligence.
You know, you think about in the classroom, it could have a lot of impacts when your kids could chat with a chatbot, and the chatbot would basically correct them. So, you know, where a teacher would have that position right now, in the future, that could be something that's going on in the near future, where a student basically is asked a question, they respond, the chatbot then responds back to them, and you have that those simple kind of conversations that would potentially eat away at the classroom as we know it right now. So next I asked Sina about the capabilities of AI. Where is AI right now? What are the capabilities? I mean, I know a little bit about it, but I don't know how much it's interwoven into every part of our lives.
Right.
So AI is already in education. There's AI is involved with customizable content. So program, you know, platforms that are able to customize content, tracking and monitoring systems. AI is embedded within many of those tracking and monitoring systems that are beginning to come out in the more enhanced and updated platforms, content management systems, learning management systems, performance assessment system or performance tracking systems, chatbot classroom assistants, especially in higher education. This has become integrated into some of the ways that human teacher assistants are utilized versus chatbot assistants, adaptive learning programs, games, software, and even AI tutors. Where AI is right now, as far as its own intelligence, AI is already learning the 21st century skills. AI is already learning the 4 C's, and AI is already learning to teach itself.
So, Mike, what are you thinking about this so far?
Well, At first I was a little nervous about it. It's kind of scary, but at the same time, it's kind of exciting because bringing AI in your classroom can help do some of those menial tasks that you have to do on a daily basis, like helping a kid spell a word or giving them a definition to something or whatever. And it's not that that's bad stuff, but if you can replace some of those tasks with the AI and you have more time now to focus on some more innovative things,
right.
I think it's better for your students.
Yeah, for example, with Lowerel, you know, Siri, how do I find a picture of a snowman?
Exactly.
Instead of you having to type it in or tell them how to spell it.
And I have to go search it for them and help them spell snowman and whatever, right?
Exactly. So same outcome, but it's just easier. So those are examples where AI, you know, makes it easier for you. Just like AI makes it easier while I'm driving my car.
Absolutely.
That I can ask Siri to call a friend or hands-free, things like that. But I wouldn't necessarily want Siri driving my car full time. That's a whole nother show.
Right.
But yeah, so you're basically saying, yeah, you know, it's great to enhance,
mm-hmm.
but you know, where do we draw the line?
Right.
Yeah. We talk about that next, where Sina gets into blended learning environments and where AI could really help us enhance the classroom experience.
A blended learning environment really looks at how you design the spaces in your rooms, an area where they can be have that creative expression. They can really use their 4 C's. And then you have spaces in the room where students are doing more of the knowledge and skill acquisition.
Yeah.
And then you have spaces in the room where the students are working with teachers or with peers and optimizing that ability to really interact with their expert learners guide in a way. So imagine artificial intelligence as being a way to really enhance those spaces. So you're not replacing teachers, but then the teacher is freed up to do what the teacher does best, which is really focus on that instructional level and move students into that challenging learning area where they learn the most and the best. So there's some very promising potential for AI, but there's also some very big dangers.
So the next thing that Sina and I talk about are algorithms. Now, algorithms, even though when I say that word, it makes you want to like fall into a deep sleep.
Take a nap.
algorithms are basically, they're just the code that's being written for the AI to work, right?
Right.
So how is this computer learning? And you know, although it's necessary, the problem with algorithms is they have implicit bias, which means that the person writing that code, based upon like where they live, their life experience, their socioeconomic backgrounds, all those things go into how they write their code. So
right, we like to think that this computer, this is totally non-biased completely.
Right.
But the problem is the computer can't do anything without the code behind it. And the code is written by a biased person.
Yeah, and that's...
potentially biased, at least.
Yeah, and sometimes it's purposeful, sometimes it's not. But already, and Sina talks about this a bit, but already it affects teachers because a lot of states use algorithms for your evaluations.
To evaluate teachers, right.
Yeah, they get your scores, and then it plugs into an algorithm. And so...
And who's writing the algorithm?
Exactly.
Is it a former teacher that's, you know, sympathetic to the teacher and how... and the everyday struggle of a teacher, or right. Is it a politician who's never spent a day in their life in the classroom
right.
and knows nothing about what teachers do on a daily basis?
Exactly.
There's your bias.
It is, and it's a real issue that if we just take what computers are telling us as fact, that's not necessarily true. So this next part is all about algorithms, and in order to really understand AI, this is an important portion of that. One of the big things that's involved in AI are algorithms, and we hear this word all the time, you know, Google searches and different things like that, that there's code that's written, and that controls much of this AI. So what is the good and the bad of those algorithms?
Well, artificial intelligence is coded, just like any other software programming, and so... those mathematical models have a high degree of potential bias because the people that are coding have bias. And so if there aren't very clear development criteria around ensuring that unbiased coding models, then we're going to see more and more of these intentionally and unintentionally developed bias within the models. You don't have to look far to see examples of AI algorithms being misused or algorithms that have gone awry. Loan application algorithms that are unfairly denying loans. We have hiring algorithms perpetuating harmful hiring practices. And in our own educational landscape, we have evaluation algorithms that are inconsistent in rating teachers. Test scoring algorithms that are creating artificial performance trends, and the list goes on. But AI can be a great benefit as well, if done well. And there's diagnostics in medicine where doctors are already being assisted by AI to rapidly go through the symptoms to find more customized diagnostics. Creative solutions in urban planning, food production optimizing, and in our own classrooms, support structures matching in real time, matching support structures to students. Those algorithms can become great benefits in developing artificial intelligence. The key is that artificial intelligence is not going to fix itself or develop itself well. We humans will need to ensure the quality standards are in place and are met, and the appeal processes are available that ensure unintended bias programmed into AI is addressed. And so as educators, we want to ensure that the artificial intelligence algorithms are unbiased and are treating our students fairly. And we also want to educate our students to be critical thinkers and really require and keep and not just accept the information that's coming from the machines as fair and true, and being able to really have that discernment of whether something seems right or not. So algorithms are really an essential part of our educating students about AI. And that's a very important approach that we're going to need to take in the near future around helping students. We've taken the steps to make students digitally literate, and there'll be a point where we need to create the conditions for students to become AI literate.
You know, I just think of the standardized tests, you know, would be, you know, an area that all teachers are familiar with, where you have a student who scores poorly, and if that was the only outcome, was just using that score, then that student might be unfairly pigeonholed because they had a bad day or this or that. And yeah, like you were saying, if you have an algorithm that's written that weighs too heavily on one thing or another, it could change a student's course, you know, of education.
Absolutely. And if you think about the more and more testing is going online or is becoming notarized, it is not far behind that artificial intelligence will become the main structure within which these assessments are built. And there are some tests that decide students' abilities to get into colleges or students being able to pass significant licensing testing to be able to get into their careers. So it is, the algorithms are a very essential part of AI literacy and being able to really understand what artificial intelligence is and what it can do and what it should not do.
Tons of information about a really big topic. Just like maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if somebody had told you about one-to-one iPads, mm-hmm. you'd have been like, woo, like mind blown, right?
Right, right.
Well, now that we've been into it a little bit and we've had the opportunity to really blaze our own trail with it, we love it. And I think AI has the potential to do that. But the next thing I talked to Sina about is now that we know there's the good, the bad, how can we as educators help to make AI a useful part of our classroom instead of just another component of big data?
Exactly.
Right? All right, so let's hear what she has to say. So let's just say we know it's all coming, but what, as an educator, what should our response be to this changing landscape?
Well, it's, if we take a historical look as to how we as education have adopted technology, then we have some troubles ahead. Example, what did we do with the advent of technology? We put computers in labs and on carts, not in students' hands. And so they learned their most important technology lessons in their social lives. What about the advent of the internet? Same thing. Their access to the internet was limited in schools. And so again, their most meaningful lessons, arguably, about the internet or getting into the internet was in their social lives. And so, and then what about the smartphone? We banned the use of smartphones in schools, and so students' user experiences were directed by peers. And my question that I ask myself and the urgency that I have for myself and really grappling with the topic is, how will it with AI? And I just believe it's possible for the students' most influential AI lessons to occur in the educational environment, where educators can facilitate students' learning in what AI is in their lives, how it works and doesn't work, and what they can do about it as agents of their own human intelligence. Because ultimately, that is where we are able to really advocate for having quality AI, is if our human intelligence is expanded and advanced. And we're not trying to compete with machines. We know where our intelligence rises above that. So, and my bottom line is that great teachers are not going to be replaced by artificial intelligence. Students with future-proof intelligence will not be supplanted by robots. Ultimately, it's about our human intelligence. And so my focus is on human intelligence in the age of artificial intelligence. And I'm not anti-artificial intelligence. I believe that this next evolution of technology can absolutely collaborate well as educators and students. It's just that we need to be the ones that decide how it's used and not be in a position where it's done to us.
Well, that's an awesome place to leave it. Thank you so much, Sina, for joining us. I think that this is just fascinating, and I hope our listeners do too. And I really hope that it gives them some insight into kind of what's coming their way, and so they're prepared and they know how to deal with it.
Well, thank you so much. And I just encourage any of your listeners to check out my website, interested in finding out more. And I'm also in January, I'm beginning an HI in the Age of AI blog series. And so that also might be available for folks.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely put links for that on our Facebook page and we'll tweet that out. And your website is?
SYNA360LLC.com.
So I think to wrap up, you know, my overall feeling is I'm really excited for some of the things that AI can bring.
Mm-hmm.
A little nervous.
Yep.
At the same time. But I think it comes back to this theme over and over that we come back to on this podcast, which is that as teachers, when we are using the four C's to guide our teaching, right? Mm-hmm. And we are trying innovative strategies. I think that
we're trying to create a whole child and not just a child going in one direction only, but the whole child.
Exactly. Yeah. Not just going by their test scores and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that this really speaks to that. I think that also we need to make sure that not only going forward that our kids are digitally literate,
yes,
but that they are also algorithmically literate. At least knowing that, hey, Google is an algorithm. Your mm-hmm. test scores were made by an algorithm, and right. this is not you.
Yes, you're this not is... defined by that three-digit number.
Exactly. And I think as teachers, we just need to make sure that we are taking this on as a challenge of how are we going to show the world that that AI can be used effectively, that it can be used in positive and enhancing ways in the classroom, and not just to collect more data on children.
Right.
Right. Or to do our jobs for us.
Right.
So, all right. Well, hopefully you got a lot out of this episode. I know it was a lot. Man, when I first heard about all this stuff, I was just mind blown.
Mm-hmm.
I really was. And it's a lot of big ideas come our way. Well, if you have anything to add, we'd love to hear you. You can contact us on our Facebook page, Teachers Talking Tech. You can also go to our YouTube page for some useful videos and ideas at Teachers Talking Tech. You can go to our Twitter page, which is?
@ Teach Some Tech.
And I guess it's not really a page, is it?
No.
Yeah, I sounded like super old right there.
Our Twittery bio thing. Yeah.
We like technology.
Yeah.
Listen to us.
We do, but we're both old at the same time.
That's right. You can go to my Twitter.
We have nothing other than Twitter and Facebook. So
yeah, that's right. That's
there's
right.
no Instagram, and there's no Snapchat. There's no any of that stuff. We're too old for that stuff.
Listen, we're innovative, but I mean, we're still old. But anyway, so yeah, check us out on Twitter. We'd love it. And of course, you can listen to our podcast. You know what? It really helps us if you help spread the word on our podcast. An easy way to do that, just leave us a review in the iTunes store or mm-hmm. the iTunes podcast store. That really helps get the word out so more people can hear us and hopefully get new ideas and spread the knowledge. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening to us. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
See ya.